Got everyone.
Okay, so we'll call the meeting of the Development Review Board to order. Do you call the roll?
Sure. Ms. Fishman?
Here.
Mr. Crosby?
Here.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Here.
Ms. Schuh-Kiegel?
Here.
Ms. Kilbride?
Here.
Ms. McColl?
Here.
Chairman Martin?
Here.
All right, we have quorum.
All right, the first matter on the agenda this evening is the approval of our minutes from August 20th. Has everyone had an opportunity to review these minutes?
Yes.
Somebody make a motion to approve these minutes, please.
I'll second. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
All right, Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Ms. McColl?
Yes.
Ms. Schuh-Kiegel? Okay. Ms. Kilbride?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, the next thing on the agenda this evening is a pre-filing conference for a proposed amendment to an existing plan development at 400 Ashland. This is a mechanism that the ordinance provides. It gives us an opportunity for a developer to make an informal presentation to the board and for us to let the developer know any special concerns we might have with their proposal. There is no application on file, so we're not going to take a vote tonight. There's nothing to approve, and we don't expect the developer to go down each of the standards because there's no application on file for us to compare against those standards. So we would ask, you swear them in? You swear?
Well, if it's not a public hearing, I don't know that we need to swear.
All right,
in.
So at this point, we let the applicant make a presentation to us with some ideas about this proposed amendment to an existing development ordinance. Mr. Sheesh, do you want to talk?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Development Review Board members. Is my audio coming through relatively clear?
Yes.
It's, am I too loud? I'm happy to be here, Mr. Chairman, on behalf of the property owner. Actually, property owners, the building is currently owned by one member, Mr. Jakojevich, should be on the line or should be joining us shortly. But
I am on the line, sir.
Oh, great. Thank you. So Victor is on the line. And in case you have some questions for him, Mr. Chairman or board members. Lee, at this point, I'd like to run through a PowerPoint presentation. Lisa, are we able to do that?
Yeah, you should be able to share your screen.
Okay.
If not, I've got a copy of it and I can always share my screen.
I think that might be easiest. That might be best, Lisa, if you don't mind. I can do that if you like. Whatever is best for you, Lisa.
I think it would be best if you could, but I'm pulling mine up as a backup just in case.
Okay, I will do that then. Lisa, it's on my screen, but I go to share screen and I'm getting a bunch of warning signs here.
Okay, I'll just do it.
Thank you. Is my audio still coming through?
Yep.
Thank you for your patience on that. Lisa, if we could have the next slide, please. This is the development team. The client is the property owner of 400 Ashland LLC. Currently on the line, Victor Jekulevich. He is the principal. JCSA Chicago is ourselves. My name is John Sheese, and I have a place of business at 905 Home Avenue in Oak Park. Next slide, please, Lisa. So by way of introduction, the plan development ordinance that Chairman Martin cited was approved on May 28th, 2013. And it included the deconversion of some previously commercial space into a one bedroom apartment that was roughly 832 square feet. As part of that plan development, there was a series of allowances or site development allowances that were granted. You can see the timeline I have here that there was a change of ownership between the folks that previously owned the building that had the plan development approved, sold the building somewhere in 2018. I might have that a little bit, my date's a little bit wrong there. Victor, you can correct me, but it was roughly about that time when Victor and his partner purchased the building. So what we're looking for here is a major amendment as defined by the ordinance, but we are not seeking any additional site development allowances. In other words, we're not asking for any density increase, any increase in the building envelope. So the walls of the building are not changing. They're not moving outward. The roof is not moving upward. So we're not asking for any height increase. We're not asking for any parking requirement waivers. And we are looking at making some window changes that we'll highlight for you today. But one important note is that there is no change in the real estate tax classification from where it is now. We have current tax bill from the county that we will provide in the formal package to show that we actually are, there will be no change in the tax classification if this major amendment is approved by your board. Next slide, please, Lisa. A lot of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this building. It's an incredibly interesting building. It is a single story building that sits on the corner of Central Avenue and Ashland Avenue. It is known as the Vine Building because there are multiple vines that creep up in the springtime. And it's just a wonderful place. I, up until this September, my office was adjacent to the space where it says right there, scope of PD approval. And it's a wonderful place to work. And it's just a good building that deserves a place in River Forest. It's a wonderful place. There are five parking spaces that work off of an existing drive, five spaces that are here. The building has multiple entrances directly from the public right of way into offices. There is also a common entrance off of Ashland, and that's where the address and the awning is, 400 Ashland. There's a primary space here. And if we could move to the next slide, I could keep talking about the, walk you through the building. So here are some photographs. You could see the current property owner has improved it. There's a lot more landscaping. Paving was changed to brick pavers and improved. The building got a new coat of paint, highlighting the coins. The windows were sealed up and there was a security system put in to the building that all enhanced it by the current property owner. The photo on the right here shows the entry point of what will, if the ordinance is approved, the major amendment to the ordinance is approved, will be the new space there. Next slide, please, Lisa. Some more photographs. The photograph on the left-hand side shows the residential portion of the building. This was previously approved by the standing ordinance. And one of the things I would highlight is, while it is a residential use, you know, it is indistinct. In other words, it's you know, the window treatments and the door and the landscaping all blend in so that it doesn't scream, hey, this is residential and this is commercial. In my opinion, it's very well blended. And we hope to do the same with the current amendment. The slide on the picture on the right shows the building sort of looking over at this, at more of the west wall, which shows a second entrance to the apartment there. You will note that there are neighbors that are five stories tall that overlook the building. And the fact that a one-story building holds this corner, I think from a planning standpoint, is quite admirable. Leads to the a really nice streetscape. Folks that walk along Central Avenue. Next slide, please, Lisa. So this is a slide that shows the floor plan. And since it's only a single story building, it only has one floor, no basement, no attic spaces. But it does show the spaces that were approved on the previous ordinance. You could see the yellowish color on the left-hand side. It shows a one-bedroom plus. So there's a one-bedroom unit plus an office study here, a kitchen, and a living area. All of that was approved and is currently rented. The blue shows the commercial spaces that were previously approved. And you could see that there were, you know, many offices here that were accessed by the central space, but also had their own private entrances. It's quite unique, and it lends itself to unique type of tenants living in the building, actually occupying the building, sorry. So the space we're talking about is this space on the corner. There was a longtime tenant, as long as I've been looking at this building before I was even a tenant here. This building occupied Xcel Oil. They were a company that basically recycled oil, and they have since left the building. It's been almost a year. Victor, you can correct that if I'm wrong, but I think their lease was up sometime last year, you know, early 2020. Business economics, just Victor, maybe you can say something about that.
Yeah, their business basically went under after 30 something years being in business, and they did not renew their lease. So it's been vacant just over a year.
Yeah, the owner was a local River Forest business person, and it just the business plan and the business environment shifted to where they couldn't make any more money. So they vacated this space for about a year. And this is a space, as I mentioned, that this tenant number three, that was me. Since the conversion of the building, I've been in this location. And it's wonderful space, you can imagine public hearings just now getting restarted. My business shifted quite a bit. So this space has been vacant since September. Well, it's been vacant since before September, but my lease ended in September. So next slide, please, Lisa.
Just give me one second, John. I had a little bit of a technical glitch here.
No worries, no worries. I can keep talking until that slide comes in. On the right-hand side, and all these drawings are copies, all these slide images are copies of drawings that you have in your preliminary packet.
Yeah, sorry, I had your presentation up on the big screen, but the connection dropped, so just give me a minute.
Sure.
Keep going, John.
Yeah, we can follow along in the packet.
That's true. They have hard copies. If anybody needs a hard copy, I've got it.
Joanna? So the next slide will show you our proposed plan. And there we go. Wonderful. That's great. So you could see the space enlarging from a previous 270 square feet to a current proposed 328 square feet. And essentially what we're doing is adding this much space to the apartment studio. It's a modest studio. It's a studio with a one bathroom, a galley kitchen, and a closet. The mechanicals change a little bit. In other words, the current heat in the building is radiant heat from the floor. And it's since it's central, it's a little hard to isolate spaces, so it won't work well with a residential. So the Victor is planning on adding a heating air conditioning unit through this space here. In addition, those of you that walk by the building know that these are very large, very transparent windows that won't lend itself real well to residential use. So these are converted, and we'll see those on the future slides. So in terms of building changes, the only ones that would be perceived are here and these windows here. All the other changes are internal to the building. The significant numbers are this space went from 270 square feet to 328 square feet. And that'll become significant because I'll mention some of the early conversations I had with the village staff. Lisa, if we could have the next slide, that'd be great. I'll keep talking until we get the next slide. So the other topic of discussion with village staff, namely Lisa, was, hey, John, you got approved for certain uses with certain employee counts, and that drove your parking requirement. And so this is the previous parking requirement as we had. This is the proposed parking requirement. And as you can see, the total, at least by our calculation, this data, since it has not been formally approved by village staff, but they will look at this and say, hey, John, we agree, or we need to take a second look at this, or we need some more data. But we do have the leases from the current tenants, and here, that's what I meant, the current tenants. And then we went to the code and said, okay, for a new residential studio, what's the parking requirement for that? And so we came up with the count that essentially we would stay at the same parking requirement. We would not need any additional parking. Next slide, please, if you can, Lisa. So I mentioned this a bit as we were looking at the floor plan. And one of the kind of great things that happen with conversation with staff is they take a look at some early plans and they say, we need more data, or here's a heads up, or here's a flag that we're raising that we need more data, more research and support from you, meaning us as applicants. And one of them was the efficiency unit size regulations. And section 12, 08.4 requires that an efficiency dwelling unit have a living room of not less than 220 square feet of floor area. In addition, it requires it to have a separate closet, bathroom, as well as a kitchen area with sink, cooking appliance, and refrigeration facilities. So our proposal is 328 square feet, 220 square feet of floor area. We supplied a drawing, but as this clearly says, a living room of not less than 20. So we would need to take out the closet and the bathroom and part of the kitchen. And by our calculations, we meet this. The total square footage for the apartment is this. But once we subtract those other, I wanted to let you know that the two things that were raised by staff were, John, be sure that the space that you're providing meets code. We believe it does. Make sure that the parking requirements, you give us enough to look at it and give you comments. These two topics should be resolved by the time we are up before you again. Next slide, please, Lisa. So this is a close-up of the sort of before and after or current. This is the current office space. It's 270 square feet, the blue space here. As you can see, we're keeping the bathroom almost intact, but we are adding the closet, the kitchen area, and the living area, all of those things driven by the desire to be code compliant. So where does the magic square feet come from? It comes from the adjacent space that where my office used to be. So that space is reduced by, not roughly, but exactly 58 square feet. And those 58 square feet go into the studio apartment. Next slide, please, Lisa. So I promised I would show you what the exterior would look like. So here we have an existing and then a proposed plan. And you can see the changes in this window here. We chose to keep the opening an opening. So the building as character comes from a very, I'll call it a rustic look. I would call it something different, but only, it would be archy speak. But it's big masonry, simple walls with large windows. And I didn't want to, block this up and sort of give a head fake and say, oh, the windows were here. I think in working with Victor, we wanted to stay with the opening, create the residential type windows here that are consistent with this. Individual panes that are awning windows, which are similar to the ones we put on the Central Avenue side, and then use this as this material. It's a medium density concrete fiber board. Non-architects call this Hardy board. It's a cement-based board that weathers very well, and I believe is consistent with the look of the building. Next slide, please, Lisa. So this is the Central Avenue side, the existing elevation and the proposed. And so you can see that we are keeping the look of the building the same, even though that new wall comes right to the middle here, that new wall that's being shifted over. This is a new awning window here. We're keeping the entrance to the building here. So you can see the before and after. The before and after. Thanks, Lisa. Next slide. This is question and comments time. As Chairman Martin mentioned, this is a chance for us to hear your questions, comments, things to be prepared for. So I'll stop talking and listen and take down a lot of notes. Thank you.
All right, so if any of the members have questions, this is the time to address them. It's also helpful if there are certain potential problems that you want to make sure the application addresses, let the applicant know about it now. We're really not looking for answers to the questions tonight. We just want to give the applicant an idea of how they can make their application complete and present it efficiently at such time as they go ahead and file for this amendment.
If you do have anything you want to raise, I just ask you to make sure your microphone is live, the button in front of you, and just speak into the microphone since we record the meeting.
Okay. I think the existing, the change in the east elevation, and I was going to try and find out David's opinion too. Whatever this concrete fiber board, just from looking at this, I'm not impressed with how it looks. It just looks like it's tacked on, and it doesn't seem to me to be keeping with the appearance of the building.
Let me go back to that slide and screen share it so everybody can see together, including those who are on the Zoom call.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that as well. John, I know that the other windows, there are a number of windows that have obscured glass on the south-facing elevation. Did you consider doing that instead of the cement board, where those windows that are in the lower, two-thirds are just obscured glass?
I hadn't considered that. That's, I would need to check with Victor, but I don't see that. I'll check it out with him. That's a good recommendation.
I just hate to see
it. It wouldn't be a problem, John. It wouldn't be a problem at all. Whatever makes the building look better, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I just hate to see a new material being added, like the cement board. Just to kind of be more consistent with what the other elevations have going on.
The new windows are effectively storefront windows, insulated storefront windows with awning type. I think if Victor's okay, that might be good to, as you say, or as the, I didn't take down the name of the previous board member, not to add another material, right? To just stay with the existing building palette, if you will.
And I think it's nice to keep the daylight coming in, just from my point of view. It's because if it's obscure and if they don't like all the daylight, they can add blinds. But the daylight, I just think it's just, it's a small space, and giving the daylight gives you, I think, a better for your mental health even.
I can't argue, because I had the office with the obscured glass below my nose level, and it was wonderful. You could actually see people walk by, and the daylight came in, so I felt a little safer instead of not knowing if there was somebody below my eye level. Right? It's a good comment.
So when the application is made, we will have the applicant bring in samples of the material that's being used, and they will, tell us ahead of time what they propose, and we'll rely on David and the village staff, to comment on the materials. And, we all have our own ideas about how it should look, and what is attractive and what's going to be acceptable.
Understood.
Anybody else have any questions?
You mentioned in the one picture you're getting rid of an exterior air conditioner unit.
That's correct.
And I just wondered, and you mentioned there's radiant heat. So is there another air conditioner going in somewhere else, or are you air conditioning it in a separate way?
We're using an interior source. So there will be a interior source. Taking that air conditioner out of there is a big plus, and replacing it with a window as we're proposing. And so all the heating and cooling will be done interior to the building. There won't be any add-ons.
I also wondered about the parking. This new tenant requires there's no parking space for this person?
Well, we're going straight off of the code ordinance for the village. And we saw that there is no parking requirement for a studio. Now, that's our reading of the ordinance, and staff has yet to weigh in. So we may come back with a different answer on that. But currently, this is our interpretation of the code.
And just to confirm that this is a unit that's obviously being rented, right? It's not going to be sold, and it's just rental, right?
That's correct.
Any other questions for the applicant? Joanna, anything else you want to tell us, Mr. Sheese?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's wonderful to hear your voice and all the other familiar voices, David and everybody. I would like to mention that we are scheduled for a neighborhood meeting on the 24th of February. The notices have gone out. We have a very specific email address by which we're communicating with the neighbors. We will hold it via Zoom. Lisa has agreed to host it there from the community room in case folks do come in, but it's scheduled for 7 p.m. on February 24th. If any of you would like to attend, and Lisa has my email address and she knows, she'll know the link. So I'd be happy to have you hear what neighbors have to say. I've already heard from quite a few folks that are immediate to the north of us. They're just happy we're not doing a 12-story building.
All right, anything else you want to tell us, John?
No.
Anybody else on the board have any questions?
No.
All right, as I said, there's nothing for us to do this evening as far as approve or anything, so it would be appropriate to have a motion to dismiss.
But John, do you have any requests for application waivers?
I haven't seen anything in writing.
No, we don't have anything
okay.
in writing.
So okay. We had a motion to dismiss.
Okay.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you.